Hello all and welcome to episode 63 of the Green Arrow, an FPL podcast by Fantasy Football Hub, as we hit the penultimate game week of the season. We look ahead to game week 37 and beyond. My name is Fergie, and this week with my regular co-host Adam Hopcroft out of action due to work commitments, I am delighted to welcome another of the very best FPL managers and Fantasy Football Hub contributor, FPL Heisenberg, who is chasing seventh consecutive top 35k finish. I tell you what, the calibre of people we've had on has been absolutely superb. It's great to have you on, Heis. How's it going?
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thanks for having me on. Absolute pleasure to be on the Green Arrow, one of my favourite podcasts. I watched you and Rich the other week. Last week, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And I feel a bit... It's tough following Rich with his career history because he is literally top 10 in the world. So he makes me look a bit shabby, but I'll take it. I don't mind being behind Rich a little bit.
So you're 4,910th, which obviously, you know, really good rank, and following up on some really nice previous ranks. I noticed that in 2017-18 you had a rank of 836. How do you think your season has gone this year? I do remember an incident around game week 18, which I'm sure you'll touch on, but do you want to enlighten us on how your season's gone?
Yeah, I try and forget that. I have sleepless nights about that. We'll get onto that in a minute. But yeah, though, surprisingly, like, I started off quite poorly the first sort of 6 weeks of the season. I don't know if you've got I'll try and explain it the best I can without being in front of us, but I was sort of 1.4 million for the first sort of 6 weeks. Yeah. Really poor start. I made some really poor decisions in game week one. I look back now and I had players who were a bit like rotation risk players, the likes of Saka from Arsenal and some other players. I think I gambled on Werner early doors. If he'd have banged, wouldn't have looked like a mistake, but there was a few mistakes in there, to be honest. But then I think it was game week six or seven, yeah, I jumped up to around 700k, so half my rank, and then it was like green arrows. I think I got 10 green arrows in a row, game week 7 to 16, and ended up at 22k. So to be at 22k and not even be halfway through the season, I'm thinking, right, if I can just maintain this and, you know, gradually edge up, top 10k should be obviously very achievable. But then in game week 19, I think it was a double game week, I tried to bench boost, I did a minus 8, and not only did I not click bench boost, I obviously arranged my starting 11 as my best 11 and my weakest went onto the bench, but that didn't even save. I pressed bench boost, it went green at the bottom, so my stupid brain must have just thought that's all done, and it wasn't. So yeah, I lost out on 32 points there on my bench boost, and not only that, my front 11 did really poorly as well. So, you know, I was kind of thinking, right, okay, I've made this mistake, but hopefully my team bail me out, and they just didn't. I got a game rank of 6 million something.
Oh, what an absolute nightmare, mate.
Yeah, so it was like a double kick in the you know what. And but then, yeah, I think that was actually a defining point in my season. I decided there to, you know, I made a real conscious effort not to like go on tilt and not to play angry, not to like start doing minus fours, minus eights to try and regain it, because I dropped down to around 200k in that sort of middle stage of the season. End of game at 22, I was 209k. And then from there on out, it was around, yeah, it's been green arrows ever since, really, with a couple of really minor red arrows. So it's been, yeah, pretty much plain sailing and up to just inside the top 5K. I'm a little bit, we'll get onto our teams later on, won't we? But I'm fairly confident for this week, game week 37. But game week 38, I'm a little bit worried because of the Man United boys. My bench is pretty weak at the minute with the likes of Konsa, Dunk, and Stuart Armstrong. So I've got some weak bench players that might be needed in sort of game week 38, which I'm a bit worried about. But I guess if it's a low scoring week, I might get away with it. Who knows?
Good stuff. I've been waiting to do this for 20 game weeks, but I'm going to have to get the violin out for your game week 18 failed bench boost, where you didn't press bench boost. I can only imagine what that must have been like, Heis, because it must be every manager's worst nightmare. You don't have to press it once a year. What's the matter with you?
But, I know. I pressed it. I just didn't press save.
You're taking a bit of stick in the chat as well. Yeah. FPL tips says top 35k finish. That sounds like someone saying X has the best shot inside the box to minute ratio in the past 12.6 game weeks. Picking the parameters. Hey, Wes, love that. Thank you for that tips. But you're getting a lot of love as well. Gavin, your incredible FPL history, Wes. Fair play. And Reese Cartry, that is a great history. Wes is king, according to Catal McHale. Have you paid these people to be on, Wes? We never normally get this kind of reaction, to be fair. But yeah, and James Harden. I don't get this joke, but I'm assuming that someone does. Well, this podcast must be world famous now you've managed to get Carl Urban on. Carl Urban? Is that a private joke?
No, it's not. I've heard it before, though, in terms of his, I think he's an actor. And yeah, I've had him and I've had the guy from Narcos. What's his name?
Oh, okay.
Someone will say it. And I think it's insulting. These celebrities will be insulted because I've not had a haircut in or proper haircut in a long, long time. My beard's all shaggy. And yeah, so it's I'll take it as a compliment. But yeah, you're definitely offending these celebrities if I look like that.
I bet you Carl Urban saved his bench boost. But moving on anyway, Heist, let's have a look. What colour was your arrow in game week 36?
Green arrow for me, just a very small win, yeah.
And do you want to just run through your team for our podcast listeners, if that's all right?
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. My team was, I forgot it now. So I had, let me just get it up so I don't make any mistakes. There we go, yeah. So I decided to bench my two Man United guys, Fernandes and Shaw. I kept Dunk on the bench and Mendy. Dunk obviously with the red card, which was a bit annoying because obviously I could have done with a couple of points off the bench for Jota, who missed out for me. But yeah, my team running from goalkeeper to forwards was Martinez in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Konsa, Dallas, Jota, Lingard, Armstrong and Salah, and then Antonio, Watkins and Kane up front. So looking at my team, it didn't really perform very well, but I guess a lot of people in the same sort of boat. With, you know, I was quite worried about DCL and Luca Dean and Son and even Salah because I didn't have any captain, but you know, they all stayed relatively quiet, obviously apart from Salah, but Kane got some returns as well. So yeah, I guess it was a very low scoring week and just scraped a little green arrow.
Awesome, mate. Just quickly looking at mine. So I managed 60 minus 8. He was looking a bit grim over the weekend, but thankfully I had a couple of points off Watkins, but I had Pickford in goals. How disappointing were Everton yesterday. I was going into the match last night on a small green with Pickford and Calvert-Lewin, and I thought, oh, if I can get a clean sheet and a goal here, I'd be absolutely laughing. But Pickford 2, Trent 6, Dallas 6, Kufal 2. I jammed Rafinha off the bench for Jota, which I don't mind holding my hands up. Adam messaged me this afternoon. Adam Hopcroft messaged me and said, more bench jam. So quite fortunate there. I viced Salah for 10. I had Lingard and Son who did nothing. Assist off Watkins and captained Kane. How unlucky was Kane? That's twice now in consecutive weeks.
I think I saw some... I forget the Twitter account now, but they analyse a lot of the content creators, and me and you are both in this list of 20 people, I think it is, Fergie, and we were the only two out of those lot. I think we were the only two anyway who went for Kane. And I always try and be grateful, you know, if my captain gets points or if I have a green arrow overall, I do try and be grateful and not moan. But with this one, I was really gutted because Kane hit the post twice. He had one cleared off the line. And even, you know, when he hit the post within the second half, if Dele Alli scores a rebound, he's going to get the assist.
Yeah, that's
isn't
right.
He?
Yeah.
So he dodged points like nobody's business, but at least he did get the 8-pointer. And kind of my logic for Kane versus Salah, I was very 50-50 on it, but I was thinking if they both score one goal, Kane getting a goal normally gets the 3 bonus and therefore 9 points, and Salah won't get any bonus or maybe one. So that was, it wasn't obviously a major factor, but it was part of my thinking. And then Salah got one goal and 3 bonus for the first time in his life, so
he didn't really have a lot of chances, which is probably why he nicked the bonus. He normally misses loads, don't he, which affect his bonus points.
Yeah, so it's kind of a bit disappointing, but it's not the end of the world, is it, for us there with Kane and Salah 2 points. And I think, did you say you got 60 minus 8?
Yes.
I got 52 without a hit, so yeah, we both got 52 this week.
Cool. Yeah, I brought back in Kane because I did the hokey hokey with him. And I bought Rafinha in, so it, you know, it worked out well. But Pickford was a disappointment, so I took out Mendy, the keeper, for Pickford, because I was obviously worried about Forster not playing. Yeah. And Mendy's last two were quite difficult for Chelsea as well, so I thought I'd go for Pickford. I was going to go for Mezier, but the only reason I never is because I would have already had Dallas and Rafinha. I didn't want to block myself from a Bamford move in 38.
Yeah.
So, Good evening, everyone who's watching. As we are live, please feel free to join the chat at any time. Let us know your thoughts on the topics throughout the relevant sections, and feel free to ask some questions we will try and answer throughout. Good evening, all. We've got loads of fantasy football contributors in with us this evening. We've got Rich, FPL, FPL Tips, and Hibbo. We've also got a load of our regulars, Anderson, FPL, FPL SWAT, Garvino, FPL Fozzie, Reese Cartree, Michael Lynch, Vigard Knutsen, who I believe is top. I believe Vigard Knutsen is 50th in the world. So great stuff, Vigard. Nice. Thanks for joining us live. John Tyner, RM, says, I've been stalking him on LinkedIn. I'm not sure who RM is, but I have stalked a few people this week on LinkedIn. I've been updating all my stuff, so apologies, RM, I think, whoever you are. Phil Wright, Michael Lynch, Parky97, Katal Mikhail, and lots more. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. For those who've just joined us, we have got the wonderful FPL Heisenberg with us live this evening. And for any new watchers and listeners, if you haven't subscribed to us yet, please press the subscribe button in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen and set the alert so you don't miss our live streams previewing every game week right here on this channel. Also, please press the like button. We much appreciate if you could press like if you enjoy our content. Just a word on Wes's volume. A couple of people have mentioned in the chat about Wes's volume. He does have a child sleeping in the next room, so he's having to speak a little bit quiet. Just to kind of
Let me know in the comments if this is better, guys. I'll speak right into the microphone. But yeah, like Ferg says, I can't be too loud. And I'm in a really big echoey room as well. So hopefully you can hear me. I've looked into the settings and everything's turned up to the max. So
yeah, absolutely fine, mate.
Okay, that's all.
So this evening, Heisenberg and I will look at the remaining fixtures to try and work out the best route to green arrows in game weeks 37 and 38. We will take a look at some Jota replacements with him being confirmed out for the remainder of the season. We will share some tasty differentials for game week 37 and 38. I've got a couple of right rogues to come out for that. We will share our teams and plans for game week 37. I've got a big decision to make, and it's whether to bring in Bruno or not, but we'll touch on that later. And we will analyse the best captaincy options for the game week. We'll give the competition results from Game Week 36 and look to give away another prize this week before finally taking a look at the top of the Green Arrow Podcast Mini League, which I've kind of spoiled because Vigard, who is top of that, is actually live in the chat. But we will take a look at that later. So firstly, we have the fixture ticker from fantasyfootballhub.co.uk on screen, sorted by ease for the final two game weeks. So we have West Ham and Leeds have the best fixtures across the two with 37 and 38. Then Liverpool, then Newcastle, Sheffield United. I don't think we'll be getting any of their players. Mind you, Jebberson put his face in the shop window yesterday. And right at the bottom, Brighton have got Man City and Arsenal. Not very nice at all. Palace got Arsenal, Liverpool, and Villa have got Spurs and Chelsea. But just looking at these fixtures, Wes, you know, I suppose in terms of how we approach these last two game weeks, have you got any general thoughts on how to approach them?
Well, yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I think when you're making your transfer, and it's something that I've got to consider, is because, again, look, thinking about sort of Jota replacements, the one that springs to mind for my team, I haven't got Greenwood. So, you know, the first thought that comes to mind is Greenwood, at home to Fulham, fans back in the stadium, Greenwood's nice and rested, et cetera, et cetera. But then Man United's a tricky one because of the Europa League, isn't it? Because the Europa League's only, I think they've got 2 days rest. The last Premier League game's on a Sunday. Then they've got Monday and Tuesday off, where they'll also have to travel to Poland. And then Wednesday, they actually play, obviously, the biggest game of, you know, it's a big game for them, whereas the league isn't very important for them at the minute. So I'm a little bit worried there. I guess where a good bench could be really helpful there, and you could use your bench there. But my bench, as I said earlier on, is pretty weak. So I'm a little bit worried about Man United. So yeah, consider your own squad, your own bench, if you are going to triple up on someone like Man United. Looking further towards the top, I really like Newcastle. I was thinking about them a couple of weeks ago for these last couple of weeks. And I think we were chatting earlier, wasn't we, Fergie, on DMs, that they've scored the most goals since the clocks went forward. I think I saw that from in a tweet. So they're scoring a lot of goals. They've got assets like Willock and Alan Saint-Maximin, who are both cheap midfielders who you can get in to replace Jota quite easily. And yeah, obviously Liverpool, we know all about those guys. But yeah, maybe there's a third Liverpool asset that could jump into our teams as well if now Jota's out. So that's an interesting one. Where do we go there? Maybe Nat Phillips, maybe Mane. Other than that, obviously, yeah, it's West Ham and Leeds. Obviously, it goes without saying they've got good fixtures. They've got the same fixtures, haven't they? Just inverted. And West Ham have still got something to play for. However, you know, they've had something to play for the last few weeks and they've actually disappointed, haven't they?
Yeah, so, you're right.
Yeah, it's a bit tough. But yeah, I think it's this looking at these two fixtures together is very important. And obviously, you do want to be avoiding where you can the likes of your Brightons, your Villas, your Palaces, all those teams near the bottom, really. If you can help it, you wouldn't be targeting players. Like I've got Watkins, for example. I probably won't get a chance to move him on because of the other issues in my team, but I wouldn't be looking to bring Watkins in. I might just ride him out and hope he can nick me something in those games like he has done in the big games this season.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, agree with all that, Wes. I think with Man United, you know, because they've got the final in 38, you have to assume that they're going to rest players, especially if they win tomorrow night against Fulham, which you know, guess they would. So they, you know, completely secure that second place. There's a little snippet of information earlier, which I was interested in that Dan James and Martial now back in training. Yeah. And Solskjaer did hint that they probably won't start more even against Fulham, but he's hoping that they will get significant minutes on Sunday. So, you know, that says to me there that, you know, they're very, very likely to play a weakened team in 30. I'd be absolutely amazed, you know, especially Cavani, Rashford and Bruno. I think with Greenwood, and this is part of the reason why we talked about Greenwood so much, you know, in the previous game week, is because he's young and he's fit. He's probably the only attacking player they've got at the moment, aside from Bruno, obviously, who isn't nursing, you know, some kind of injury or, you know, kind of fitness issue. So I think he may get maybe minutes in both, maybe 90 tomorrow, maybe 60 potentially on Sunday, but it's so hard to know. And so I think that's United. I think what's interesting is obviously Chelsea have to win. If Chelsea don't win against Leicester in 37, it's kind of out of their hands, you know, because Leicester and Liverpool, then if they win their remaining games, Chelsea will be out of the Champions League spots. Yeah. And it could be absolute disaster for Chelsea. Because if you think, you know, they obviously just lost the FA Cup final. They are the underdogs in the Champions League final. You know, I was looking at the odds earlier and City are kind of, you know, even money, and Chelsea are 3-4, you know, a 3-1. So, you know, from where they were a week or so ago, to not win anything and not qualify for the Champions League would be an absolute disaster for Chelsea, wouldn't it? So they have to win. So they have to play their strongest team tomorrow, you would guess, and a reasonably strong team in 38 as well.
I was just going to jump in on Chelsea and back you up in terms of, I think Tuchel said something along the lines of he wasn't happy with his team lineup he put out against, was it Arsenal? And he's kind of hinted at a stronger lineup from the stuff I've read. So yeah, that backs up what you were saying, mate.
Yeah. Liverpool, you know, obviously the same, right? They have to go and win. And there was an interesting comment earlier, apparently, in a Sean Dyche presser, where he said, you know, he's going to give his, you know, he's not going to put too much pressure on his players or something, you know, along those lines. Don't quote me on this, anyone. But you know, they've had a really hard season, you know, and they'll just kind of see the season out, which obviously bodes well, you guess, for Liverpool attacking players. Maybe not so much for defenders, because their defenders are absolute. Well, their defence is absolutely shocking at the moment, isn't it? But so Liverpool and Chelsea, you know, a team we can probably trust to put out really good sides in 37. Just to touch on Man City, so De Bruyne back in training, which is interesting. You would guess that they would go strong in 37, mind you, we all guessed they would go strong in 36, and they didn't, did they? But you would guess, you know, that they, players like maybe Foden, Mahrez, etc., may get a game tomorrow evening, and then they would play, you know, Aguero, Torres, maybe, etc., in 38, you know, to get their kind of final team ready. But we're not really sure about those as well. Some interesting news out of Leeds as well is that Matthias Klick and Cock have both left Leeds early, apparently, to go away for a rest international duty. And I suppose the kind of interesting thing to me that it means, you know, some of the more fringy Leeds players may get games. I've got a differential later, I think, who could be, you know, a really good crack for the end of the season. Newcastle, you touched on, I can't believe I'm saying this, but is Joelinton actually an option? Yeah. Do we dare put Joelinton in? But I totally agree with you, the Newcastle mids look the place to be. And just one other, West Brom, Pereira. It doesn't matter who he plays, he just keeps returning, absolutely being in fantastic form. One question I've got for you, Wes, home advantage in front of the fans has been touted a lot in this last week. Do you think it's going to be as impactful as people think?
I think potentially, yes. I think there will be a buzz about it because I think players maybe got used to having fans for obviously their whole lives or their whole professional lives. And now it's been gone for so long. I think there's almost this appreciation. You saw it in the cup final, didn't you, with Vardy, Gene at the fans and the players mentioning it, even though it is only a small number. And it is surprising what an atmosphere this small number can create, because I guess they are kind of the hardcore fans that are going. So, yeah, I think it will have an impact. But yeah, I wouldn't overplay it too much. For example, Liverpool are away at Burnley, but like you mentioned earlier, I would expect Liverpool to win that one. Obviously, we all expected Liverpool to win more comfortably at West Brom, didn't we, than they did. It took a last-minute Alisson header, which was amazing, by the way.
And I tell you what, mate, that was one of those moments. That wasn't that far off that Aguero moment in 2012. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. It's one of those, oh my goodness, call the family in from the garden sort of moments. It was absolutely amazing.
Can you see this? Yeah. And the FA Cup final was...
it was brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah. The goal from Tielemans and then the VAR being ruled out the Chelsea goal and then the Leicester fans were going crazy and all the videos of the Chelsea fans celebrating has made me laugh. Back to FBL. It will make a positive difference for the home team, but don't overplay it too much. Don't start thinking that, you know what I mean?
Don't be captain of a Sheffield United player in Game Week 38.
No, and I don't think it's going to be like, yeah, exactly. I don't think it's going to be 10 home wins in week 37 and 10 home wins in 38. But yeah, I do think it has the potential for a real positive one impact. I don't know about Man United fans. I think they think that, obviously, I think the general consensus is they're protesting against the owners, but once they're in the stadium and the game's playing, they will be back in their team, which I go along with as well. So, because I was kind of thinking, is Bruno less of a captain option than, say, Kane this week? Because Man United fans are going to be in there causing trouble, but I think they will back their team. Do you think so?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think once they're in there, there may be a few protests, but there's a difference between a protest and, and disrupting the match between, and it massively affecting the players. I mean, that I've got to be honest, I'm not really kind of in much of a position to talk about I've tried to stay away from it because I think it's quite a controversial, subject. Yeah. And I don't want to upset either side, but you'd hope that, in the stadium they would just come and support the team, right? Who in all fairness have turned out to have, a pretty good season considering, the last few years from even earlier on in the season to finish second and potentially win Europa League is pretty good. Just in that moment, I have been slapped down, absolutely rightly. Gurav says, what incomparable to Aguero. I probably do agree. I think the thing that which made this weekend so special, which we haven't seen now, for over a year, right? Well over a year now, was the absolute joy that football can actually bring you. Like Leicester, I'm not, I'm a Spurs fan, right? So I've got zero thing with Leicester or Chelsea. Just seeing the absolute joy in those Leicester players' faces, seeing all the fans, seeing Vard, jump in the middle of the team at the end and they're all dancing around. I mean, you don't see that very often anymore because it's hard to do it when fans are not there, obviously, because there's no atmosphere for it. That was absolutely amazing. And the Alisson goal yesterday as well. The joy on Salah's face, Firmino, with those bright white teeth. He was just absolutely loving it. Fabinho, they were all, the absolute joy. Yeah. And I had that feeling. It's the first feeling I've had for a long time around, that pure football sort of ecstasy moment. This is what it is all about. This moment is what football is all about. So,
100%. Those two moments, the exact two moments that I thought of as well, when Vardy went and jumped in and they was all going crazy, the whole Leicester team, and seeing the Leicester chairman come on the pitch and the sort of the whole club that Leicester is, the connection that the club have with the owner and the fans. And that's so topical as well, with obviously Arsenal fans unhappy with their owner, Man United fans unhappy with their owner, who doesn't speak to them, who doesn't do interviews, blah, blah, blah. So to see that, the contrast at Leicester and what they can achieve, you know, a small club winning the league, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, winning the FA Cup now, on obviously a budget compared to the big guys was fantastic. And yeah, Alisson's header and Alisson losing his dad early on in the year, he was crying, all the just the emotion
looking up
there,
to the sky, like, you just like, yeah, you know, you can feel it, can't you? Just,
exactly. And again, I'm not a fan of any of those teams either, like, that we've been mentioning, and I was moved by all of those moments, and it was great. Whereas normally I'm watching a Premier League game and thinking,
exactly,
but who's got, I'd normally be checking my phone, who's got Alisson, which one of my many league rivals has been a jammy bastard, but luckily no one did, so I could enjoy it fully.
We did have a point earlier, a really interesting one actually, because apparently there was, it's been reported on Sky Sports and a few other outlets,
oh, yeah,
as well, that Harry Kane has told Spurs he wants to leave, which, you know, obviously I'm a Spurs fan, so I'm very disappointed, although I would say it's completely understandable, right? He's been absolutely sensational for Spurs over the years. I think the one thing I did, just an observation about, you know, the match, which I watched Spurs on the weekend, Kane was his usual self, you know, Buster Gut, tried his best. I noticed Son, and this is, you know, I'm only mentioning this because it's going to form part of an FPL decision I have to make later. I thought Son was so off it, and I was shouting at the TV, because every time he got the ball on the left-hand side, what he was doing the first two-thirds of the season, you know, he'd get the ball on the left-hand side, he'd defend in front of him, and he would just run at the defender. He would run at him. Okay, he'd lose it sometimes, but at the time he'd get past him, he'd cut inside, go on the outside, he would attack. All I saw him do on the weekend, and I wonder whether this has got something to kind of do, you know, with this whole Kane thing. He just didn't have that kind of urgency and that will to, you know, I've really got to try and do it. All he was doing was passing it back to Reguilon or Dier the whole game. And I was so frustrated because I was like, that's not Son. And I do wonder whether, you know, there's something going on there, because Son, if I want Bruno back, Son has to be my... make weight, right?
But cash cow, yeah.
But Spurs are home to Villa as well, so it's going to be a tough decision there.
But you are right, because I was watching that game, as you know, Son was one of the players who could really hurt my rank actually this week. Him and sort of DCL were quite highly owned in the top 10k players who I didn't have, and I was watching obviously the Spurs game, hoping for Kane involvement and hoping Son could stay quiet. And I never really felt worried that he was about to, you know, normally when I'm watching Son and I don't have him, it's like, oh God, here, like Son's about to get an assist, Son's about to score. Oh, Son has scored now. Son has got an assist. But yeah, it just didn't ever look very likely, did it? From, you know, from my memory, I can't remember him haven't got the stats in front of me, too many shots or creating too many chances, really.
One shot, I think it was in the first half, you know, he was put through on the left-hand side and he shot wide. Other than that, he was not on it at all, and it was really, really frustrating.
It's one of those difficult ones, though, isn't it? Because he's been on, in general terms, he has been on decent form if you take the last sort of 6 game weeks as a collective. But then, yeah, if you take him out, it's tough, isn't it? I think Bruno at home to Fulham, it is tough. I think if I had to choose one that I'd want in my team, it would be Bruno over Son. However, you've obviously got a, it's using up a transfer for you as well. So it's not A versus B, is it? You've already got A in your team. So to remove him, it's using that transfer up and using some money. But yeah, it's tough.
And Son's ownership is still massive as well, right? So, you know, it's not like I'm removing a 5 or 10% owned player for a 50% owned. I think Son's ownership is, you know, reasonably on par with Bruno. So
it is.
But
is there a way of you getting to Bruno from Jota by Freenipper? I know it's a big money
jump. It would
jump,
be like a minus eight, or I'd have to take out Kane or Salah. So we'll have a look later anyway. But okay. So our second topic on the agenda. So it was confirmed that Diego Jota will miss the rest of the season through injury. Now, lots of people will be looking to replace Jota. And on screen now, we have a graphic from our OptStats tool on fantasyfootballhub.co.uk. We have filtered on midfielders under 7.5 million in value and sorted by expected points over the last 4 game weeks. So this shows Jota was top. So he had an average expected points over the last 4 game weeks of 7.4. After him, quite surprisingly actually, Mason Mount, 6.3. After him, Joe Willock, who would have thought that Willock was, you know, I mean, he's been an absolute sensation since joining at Newcastle. But, you know, his stats are actually up there, and his expected points for the last four game weeks are 6.13. Pereira, who we mentioned, is fourth, six. Ferran Torres, I mean, what a hat-trick that was. I don't know if you saw the game, Wes, but...
I did, yeah.
Really good goals, weren't they? You know, there weren't any tap-ins there.
Was his first one the little flick with his...
Yeah, the flick over the keeper.
Yeah, very, very impressive. And it's again, like with most City assets, they're so impressive, but it's almost like you can't go near them for FPL because of the rotation. But yeah, very impressive hat-trick. And someone in the chat earlier also said about, you know, we were chatting about moments from the weekend. Yeah. They brought the Scott Carson penalty save, and
that was
good. And I saw at the end of the game, like all the Man City players, he seems to be a really popular character, Scott Carson, from what I've heard and what I saw. They was literally all, you know, you had players who didn't even play were like running onto the pitch and patting him on the head, and that was another nice moment as well for a keeper who's third choice at Man City, coming, you know, playing a Premier League game for the first time in 10 years, saving the penalty, getting the win for his team, and yeah, that was a nice moment as well.
Cool. Under that, we have Dele Alli, who's averaging expected points of 5.6. Then we then have El Ghazi, Ward-Prowse, Redmond, and Greenwood. But there's a lot of options. We've also got pictures on screen for those who are just listening on the podcast of Saint-Maximin, Rafinha, and Foden. But there's more as well. Wes, can I ask you, you know, who you think the best options are to replace Jota?
Yeah, I'm really surprised by those stats, because like I said, the first one that sprung to mind for myself was the likes of Greenwood. So yeah, to see those players in there, I'm not that surprised to see. I knew Willock was doing well. I didn't know he was doing that well on the stats, and I think I won't ruin it, but I know that there's a graphic potentially coming later showing his XG compared to a popular pick, and along with some other stats, and that was like, that kind of blew my mind a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. It's really tough. Like the fact that you were saying earlier, you fancy Greenwood for maybe 90 minutes this week and a 60 minutes the following week. If I end up agreeing with you on that, that will be obviously enough for me to bring him in ahead of these assets, despite the stats maybe favouring some of these other guys. But I do like Greenwood because of how much of a goal scorer he is. That is where the big points are. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised for Greenwood to score a brace in any game. Whereas with all those other options on the list, like someone like Mason Mount is a really good player. I'm a really real big fan of him, but I would be surprised to see him score two goals in a game, for example. I know Torres has just scored three, but I think generally speaking, Greenwood, yeah, just from the eye test, is looking really good. So Greenwood's probably my favourite for this week. But yeah, we've already spoke about Newcastle's fixtures, and Saint-Maximin isn't on that list, is he, in terms of the stats, but. And I think I even despite the price difference, even if they're the same price, I do think I would prefer Willock at the minute. I don't know if there's Newcastle fans out there who have maybe seen more of those both over the course of the... I watch a lot of football, obviously, but maybe there's some different opinions there. But I think I prefer Willock out of the other options. El Ghazi is in there as well, but the fixtures are really bad.
Yeah.
Dele Alli, I don't know about that. I think he's not really... He's getting withdrawn early, isn't he? 60 sort of minutes sort of time.
And Bale's the same. He's withdrawn early. Seems to be so hot and cold. Bale as well. Home to Villa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's more expensive anyway, isn't he? But
yeah.
Yeah. Willock, I noticed a really interesting stat on Willock. So out of all those, out of all midfielders, this is Jota aside. Willock has had the highest amount of shots in the box per appearance amongst all midfielders in this price range, and as you know, as we say, his next two fixtures: home to Sheffield United, and away to Fulham as well. So you know they're really good. The thing I struggle with, you know, it's kind of an age old fantasy sort of saying. And there's a chap, Ian Harrin, who's a bit more famed for Sky Fantasy, but it's just a really basic principle of fantasy, and I do follow it in the main. He says, by attacking players from teams who score lots of goals and by defensive players from good defensive teams. It's remarkably simple, but it's actually very surprising how easy it is to get it wrong. Look at Digne for Everton as an example. You think absolutely nailed on. Even the Liverpool, you know, players, they concede in nearly every game because they're not good defensive teams. You know, you mention Torres for Man City. City score a lot of goals. So whoever is playing in that front
Would be, he's got front a good chance
three for
the
City
points,
have got more chances to score than most other teams. Yeah. And I'm always on that when I think of these, you know, Newcastle players, yeah. West Brom players. But who's to say, you know, that they don't.
And they are scoring a lot of goals at the minute.
Well, they are. And that's at the minute. That's it.
But yeah, that's a really interesting point from yourself and Ian there. And it's kind of like I was considering bringing in Koufal for West Ham this game had gone, because in my head I was like, oh, he just hit the post in the last game. He got an assist, I think, the game before. He was getting loads of crosses in. He did this and did that. And then I was like, well, hang on a minute. West Ham have conceded tons of goals in the last 8 or 9 game weeks. So it's like, well, and especially if I was going to minus four it, I was thinking, actually, no, what am I thinking about? And it is right. It's so remarkably simple. It's almost, you think, oh, that's too simple to say on a podcast because it's so obvious. But it's actually, it's remarkable how much everyone will forget that for that shiny object who has that attacking threat for a team that are conceding goals, because clean sheets are defenders' bread and butter. Look at someone like Dallas this year. Everyone's remembering his goals. He's got more clean sheets than goals. I think he's got 10 or 11, maybe 11 clean sheets now. When I looked through the day, it was 10 clean sheets, 8 goals, 3 assists. But I think it will now be 11 clean sheets, 8 goals, 3 assists. So even someone like Dallas, the highest goal scoring defender this year, has got more clean sheets. So it's just a really good point. I just wanted to double down on that.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for that. Phil Wright says, it's going to be hard to drop a player after a hat-trick, even for Pep. He's 21, so he can play final two Pep. Games. I think he definitely plays one. I'm not sure about two.
Let's just jump in there and correct that, because Pep, I remember vividly dropping Bernardo Silva after a hat-trick maybe last year or the year before. So I really don't think Pep doesn't think like that. He's not like an old-school English manager or an old-school English fan who thinks, oh, someone's scored a hat-trick, they have to play the next game. It's just not in his makeup. I'm not saying Torres will or won't play, but that just isn't how Pep thinks. I can assure you of that.
I think as well, even players like Willock, Torres, you mentioned Foden, Greenwood as well. You know, in 36, a lot of people brought in Foden and Mahrez. Right now, you never know if these players are going to play. But I do have the same feeling this week in 37, I suppose, it's back to what we're talking about at the start. How do we approach the two game weeks? I've seen people today on Twitter talking about selling Foden and Mahrez. Now, I don't understand that. Okay, they bought him for last week. He didn't play. Why does that then mean, you know, he won't play this week? I play them this week because, you know, if you shift them on, likely for a minus four, they may play. And if they don't play, you get someone off your bench. So, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, if you've got those guys, absolutely, yeah, be holding on. If you've got anyone who didn't play in the last one, yeah, be holding on to them. Would I be transferring? Again, I've got that sort of Jota conundrum. Could I go Jota to Foden? But I need to, because of, like I said earlier, my bench is weak. I don't want to have to rely on that. I want an asset who's going to play both.
Exactly.
Which is really a shame because I really would love to go for a Greenwood or a Foden. But will I end up going a bit more safe with a Harrison or Rafinha, maybe? I don't know yet, and I need to make my mind up soon because the deadline's coming up.
I know, it's the same. This is the thing with the quick deadlines. There's no time to think. So if you were to ask now then, who is your top two players who you are considering as a really good Jota replacement? It doesn't have to be specifically for your team, but who are the best two replacements, do you think?
For me, the best two replacements, and for my team and for everyone listening, in my opinion, are Greenwood and Willock. Willock for those fixtures, assuming he's on loan, isn't he? I assume he will play those both games. And Greenwood for his explosiveness. Like you said, if he gets 65 minutes in both games, I'll be happy enough thinking that he's got a good chance of scoring goals then. Greenwood and Willock for me.
I think I'm going to go Greenwood, and I think I'm going to go Rafinha, just because I think he's nailed to play too. One thing, a car on Twitter earlier was interesting though. He didn't take any set pieces on the weekend, apparently, which is strange. Because normally when he's on the pitch, he takes a lot of them, don't he? But apparently he wasn't on set piece. Apparently Dallas and Harrison were taking
most of them. I noticed Dallas was taking a few because I don't know, maybe is he nursing his injury still slightly, maybe sort of striking dead balls powerfully, maybe is. You know, like when a keeper's sort of nursing injury, sometimes they don't take long goal kicks. I don't know, maybe it's something like that. I've got no idea. But yeah, it's interesting because Rafinha, that was a lot of his creativity stats came from dead balls. Because I remember there was a game, was it away at Wolves, maybe during a double game week, potentially. I can't remember actually, but Rafinha got 2 bonus without actually an attacking return because he created so many big chances and the Liverpool centre, sorry, the lead centre backs. I think it was Cooper.
Oh, it was Cooper. Just it was. Yeah,
couldn't right. score. Yeah, just was putting it on a plate.
I think just on Dallas, you know, I know he's not really part of this conversation, but if he is on some on some set piece as well, I mean, if he wasn't a good option anyway, if you haven't got Dallas, I would be prioritising getting Dallas, who can keep clean sheets, he can score goals, he can get assists, and now if he's, you know, if he's on set pieces as well, he looks an absolute steal. Some in the chat, so Sanjay, Fozzie and Edwardinho, so no mention of Harrison. So Harrison isn't on this list, you know, in terms of expected points of the last few game weeks. What are your thoughts on Harrison, Wes?
Yeah, no, I really like Harrison. I think he's kind of been underrated all year in FPL. I think he's got roughly, what is it, 8 goals, 8 assists, somewhere in that region. That's not exactly right, but something roughly that. And he's another great option. So, and again, I kind of picked two based on the question, but I'd be quite happy. You know, if someone came to me and said, I'm going to do Jota to Harrison, is that a good move? I'd say yes. And likewise, if you put Rafinha there, is that a good move? I'd say yes. Willock, St. Maximin and Greenwood. So I think there's five really good options there. Which one's going to be the absolute best and score the most amount of points? Who knows? But yeah, I really like, it's interesting, Harrison versus Rafinha. Virtually any other time you'd have asked me that, I'd have said, I'd have preferred Rafinha. But I think at the minute, just sort of Rafinha's maybe knocked off. He didn't look great against, he got a really jammy assist, didn't he, at the weekend? Where
really easy pass, wasn't it? Yeah.
5 yard pass in his own half. But so Harrison at the minute is a better FPL pick, as from the information we know based on the last sort of last game, Rafinha back from an injury, blah, 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 blah. I actually prefer Harrison over Rafinha, I think. That could all change, of course. You know, Rafinha could turn it back on at the weekend, and that makes me look stupid. But yeah, at the minute, I actually prefer Harrison over Rafinha, but I like both as options. So if you're sitting there, if you're watching this disagreeing with me and you prefer Rafinha, put Rafinha in your team, because it's a really good option.
I think I do prefer Rafinha personally, only for the fact of what he's done, you know, so consistently over the season. Just a really, really dangerous player. But again, it's preference, right? It's personal preference. There's no like wrong answer here. And the only other thing I would add in the Jota debate, and this is also which I'm thinking of doing him, you know, in terms of replacing Jota, and it was mentioned really, really early on in the chat as well, but you could just leave him on your bench, right? So, you know, he's a midfielder who is reasonably cheap as well. You know, was he 7.2? You're not going to massively miss him for a couple of game weeks. You know, and for me personally, part of his appeal was his price as well. You know, he was never going to come and match Salah for goals, right? You know, or points or anything. But he was cheap. So I don't think you have to get rid of him. I think it's really important. Again, it's back to that whole thing what we said at the start about approaching the game weeks. You don't need 15 players for game week 37 or 38. Yeah. You may need a bench player or two potentially in 38, you know, if there are things, but there's, you can't plan the 38 area, right? We don't get any, you know, any lineups, any news, it's all going to happen at the same time. You just have to prepare the best you can, but you could just leave him, and that is the thing which I'm thinking of doing, because 100%. I've got other fires to fight as well.
And again, I want to double down on that and agree 100%, because if I had, I keep saying that I've got a poor bench at the minute, I'm not happy with it, but if I had a good bench, so I've got Armstrong sitting there on my bench, if that player, and he's 5.5 million, if I already had a Rafinha or a Harrison in place for that slot, I'd happily play one of those boys and stick Jota on my bench, like I've done with Dunk. Dunk's sitting on my bench at the minute just because I don't really want to minus four him out. And like you say, you can't play all these players. So, you know, instead of maybe minus four him out and then leaving bench points, you can just utilise your suspended injured players on your bench if you've got a good enough backup. But yeah, for me, I don't think I have, so I think I will be using a transfer, unfortunately, because I would quite like to for week 38, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Cool, okay. We've just got a graphic up now, so it's one Wes alluded to earlier, and it's comparing Willock against Greenwood over the last, I think it's, I want to say, 4 game weeks. You know, and for those who are looking, they can see Willock's expected points over that period per match is nearly double that of Greenwood. So 7.75 is XG is 0.86 per appearance. This is mine. So Willock's XG is 0.86 for the last four game weeks, whereas Greenwood's only 0.34. Big chances, Greenwood, zero. Willock is getting 1.5 big chances in every game he plays at the moment. Shots in the box, he beats him on as well. Greenwood does have a slight advantage when it comes to shots on target, shots overall, touches in the box, and final third passes. But if you can see this in front of us now, Willock looks by far the more dangerous option and should probably have scored a lot more points than he actually has, interestingly enough.
Yeah, it's a really interesting comparison. That I guess it is the only thing that people might be saying is the fact that it's a small sample base, and it looks like it's obviously for games. It's per game started, isn't it?
So it is, yeah.
It looks like two starts for Willock over that period and three for Greenwood. But even still, for Willock to be putting up those sort of numbers for that sort of price difference as well, because you've got to remember, you could be getting Willock now instead of Greenwood. You could save that. What is that? 2.5
million, I think. 2.5 million,
yeah. Yeah. And therefore, next week, when you need to do a transfer, say, you could jump.
Mane, right?
Yeah.
Mane or something along those lines.
Yourself, yeah. If you end up keeping someone one more week, Santa Mane or, yeah. So you can't just compare A versus B. It's Greenwood versus Willock plus 2.5 million. I know we're getting towards the end of the season now, and that money in the bank might not. You might not be able to put it to good use, maybe not because of the good cheap options at Leeds, etc. But it's definitely worth considering. And yeah, I'm just shocked. I'm really shocked just because I thought I always associate Greenwood with, I guess he's still taking a lot of shots, as you can see there, kind of, because he's ahead on the total shots, but maybe he's taking more lower XG type shots. Maybe the penalty for Willock is helping him as well there on the XG type big chances thing, but even still, it's impressive numbers. So, and again, just highlights that they're both good options, doesn't it?
It's the fixtures for me, which I can't get away from. Form and fixtures. It's just that I wonder if it is just the fact that it's his team and it's his price. I've done this previously, and it's easy to kind of do is, when you've got like a captaincy decision to kind of make. You generally make a captain decision based on someone's like price, right? Nice. Rather than their propensity to actually score points. And I think it's in our subconscious is that, Salah or Jota, right? It doesn't matter who's playing better. You would always captain Salah just because of historic, value and his price rather than Jota. But, Willock, 4.7 million, form and fixtures, potentially on penalties. FPL Fozzy said in the chat, Willock on pens apparently took the second because Joe Linton doesn't like to take two pens consecutive because of local tradition. Well, that would intimate that Joe Linton will take the next one, maybe. But
Joe Linton's penalty is really good as well, and Willock's was actually saved, wasn't it? So yeah, my guess is that after Joe Linton's banged that, absolutely spanked that ball home, and Willock missed, then yeah, I guess. Joe Linton will be on it. Willock has the potential to earn penalties, though. He won that penalty in that game. So, if Joe Linton would have stepped up and bagged that, he'd have at least got the assist for that as well. So that's another route to points, I guess.
Superb. Okay, then. Thank you for that. Wes, moving on now then, we're going to take a look at some differentials who can make the difference to our overall ranks and mini leagues potentially over the last couple of game weeks. So I've listed a few. Just for those who can't see on screen, I've listed Cavani, Aguero, Rodrigo, and Aubameyang. Some of you may laugh at some of these, and that's absolutely fine. But they're just ideas. Wes, do you want to kick us off with a couple of ideas for differentials?
Yes, I will just touch on Rodrigo quickly though, because I think like you said earlier, was it Click and Cock are going to miss out? So Click is that sort of. I think Rodrigo was playing that sort of position early on in the season. I could be wrong, but he was playing one of those sort of attacking mid roles alongside Bamford, or on the pitch at the same time as Bamford. So if Click's out, then maybe Rodrigo comes back in and therefore is maybe more nailed on, especially after, looking lively off the bench and scoring. Scored a brace, didn't he?
He did,
yeah.
The bench.
Yeah. So other than that, differentials, I kind of had a couple of those in mind. I did have, and again, it was sort of, Foden was on my radar in terms of a differential left field pick, but I always kind of I do often advise against Man City players because I'm just a bit worried about predicting Pep, because like you said, a lot of people were trying to predict Pep in the week just gone and it didn't quite happen. So I think he will try and get some minutes into his A side, won't he? He doesn't want all his Champions League final players to have that long of a rest, I guess, which is why he played the likes of Walker, Gundogan and a few others in the last game. And then I think he will play a mixture. So it is tough to guess who will play, but I guess Arthur Foden's just had a rest. He's a good shout. And yeah, likewise with, I think, Aguero for 38 could be particularly interesting. I don't know what's the latest on Aguero's fitness. And likewise with Cavani, I think a lot of these differentials come with sort of, you know, you've got a certain FPL assets, you've got to buy them knowing the risk of, okay, certain players are 90-minute men, like Ollie Watkins at Villa, you know you're going to get 90 minutes every game from him, but with players like a Greenwood or whatever, they might not be as nailed or guaranteed minutes, but you know that they can still get you the points. So, you know, it's about weighing up, okay, are they guaranteed minutes? Maybe not, but are they exposed enough, good enough whilst on the pitch to get you those points? And some of them are. Aubameyang's a really interesting one, actually, because I think I read somewhere that he'd scored more FPL points than Salah since, was it this calendar year? Or I think official FPL tweeted it. Okay. I can't remember the exact stat now, but basically Aubameyang, despite missing on like five or six extra games in Salah, someone in the chat might remember this, he's actually scored more FPL points. Again, this was before the weekend just gone, so it's probably out of date, but I'm just trying to highlight that Aubameyang's actually been performing quite well when he's been on the pitch over the last sort of, I don't know, 10 to 12 game weeks, so he's worth a shout.
Cool. Yeah, just taking a bit of stick in the chat of James Harley says, Cavani, Aguero and all the rotation risks. Will Rodrigo start? Not sure I like any of them. I suppose should have been maybe a bit clearer at the start, but I like Cavani for game week 37 only. He's not going to play in 38, right? But Cavani is 1% owned. And do you know what? I've been trying all day and I can't do it. I would love to work Cavani into my team. Home to Fulham. Watching them this season, he is just an absolute so fox good. In the box. He's amazing. And I really, really think tomorrow that he could be on for a haul. I think he could be a good captain option, right? 1% owned at the moment, Cavani. Sorry, all these ownerships I'm taking are from the top 10K. I should mention that. But I do think he's a good shout. Aguero, obviously, game week 38, right? Punt. Wait for the pressers. If he says, you know, Aguero is going to play his final game for Man City, he could be worth a punt there. Rodrigo is close to 0% owned in the top 10K. Now, he is a punt. Obviously, you know, all these are very, very low-owned players, but they're low-owned for a reason, is that they are, you know, risks, right? But if you've still got 9 or 10 really good players, you can afford to take a risk on someone, right? So, you know, a double-up potentially. Leeds, last home game of the season, home to West Brom. Imagine having a double-up of Bamford and Rodrigo, both of them starting. I would be absolutely licking my lips at that. Because you know, you expect a few goals, you expect them to be involved. Aubameyang, potentially, you know, they're away to Palace in 37, have been conceding some goals, home to Brighton in 38. Some other ones, so I did put Harrison in this one, actually, so he's 1.5% owned in this one. For Liverpool, Bobby Firmino, so he's 0.2% owned. With Jota injured, he's going to start, right? So he scored two in the previous game. He nearly scored on the weekend as well. Again, I'm not saying that these are like
struck the post in the year.
Wonderful options, right? But they are options for people who are looking just to go a bit different.
Exactly, yeah. My main one that I'd picked out earlier on when I was looking at it was another Liverpool option as well, was Mane. And again, he's a differential based on his ownership. We all know what Mane's about, and he has had a poor season on the whole, but he has looked a lot better, I think, in the last few games when I've seen him play. So he's another one. And like, again, Jota being out means that Mane, Salah, Firmino, it's back to how it was before Jota signed, really, where those three don't have much competition for places. Liverpool have to win the game, so it's not a time for Klopp to go and start a Shaqiri or, you know, one of the youngsters there or something. He needs these boys to be fit and firing for him. And I do see those Liverpool forwards almost sharing the points that, you know, you could get lucky and you might be the one who's brought Mane in or Firmino, and, you know, you might get those big returns. So, yeah.
Really good point. I tell you what, we've got such knowledgeable football brains in this chat. Guy Parfitt says, Aubameyang scored a brace last day of the last two seasons and one in his first season on the last day as well.
Come on, Guy.
That's a great. And Vigard Knutsson has just reminded us Liverpool put 7 past Palace the last time they played them. And they played them in the last game of the season. Liverpool need goals in front of fans. Mane and Salah double up for game week 38. Completely agree. I would also say, so FPL Fozzie has said, any transfer you make, you'd want them to be nailed for 37 and 38. Now, I'm not sure I agree there, because I would say that, you know, obviously depend on the rest of your team, right? It's all you know, in the context of your team. But
you've got a good bench, yeah.
I would love to be able to put Cavani in for 37 and then move Cavani to Bamford, for example, in 38, because you know that they, you know, you're pretty sure they're going to play those games. If, you know, if the rest of your 9 or 10 are pretty good, there's no reason why you can't do that. You know, it's... And this is what I mean. If you've got Salah, you know, Bruno, maybe Kane. If you're happy with your team, you can afford to go for these low owned players, because, you know, if Cavani scores a goal or two, gets you 13 points. That's, you know, and then you move on to Bamford, who does the same. No harm in that.
Yeah, and I'd agree. I think I'd agree with Fozzy in terms of from games 1 to 35 or 36. I play like that as well. But now, like you said, if you've got... I really wish I had a strong bench so I could play more like this. Because like you say, you could bring in Cavani now. And then who's to say your fifth midfielder could... And, you know, even if you have to make it... Let's say you get an injury elsewhere and you can't quite do the Bamford move or whatever. Then if you've got that good squad, you can actually just put Cavani to the bench and play a 3-5-2 or whatever. I just don't want to do that because, like I said, my bench is weak.
Yeah.
But even with my weak bench, I am still considering a Greenwood move this week, get the points, see what the press conferences are saying. If it looks like he is going to be rested, then I'll go Greenwood to Rafinha, Harrison, Willock or whatever for the final game of the season, and then keep my core squad the same. Maybe I won't have the perfect defence. Maybe I'll have to play Dunk away at Arsenal and bench Luke Shaw, but, you know, Brighton away, Arsenal could get a clean sheet. Dunk might pop up the goal, or if he blanks, so will a lot of other defenders that week, like we've just seen with the likes of popular defenders like Luka Dean. Trent was, you know, a second away from blanking, etc., etc. So my point is, I'm trying to back up what you're saying in terms of play a bit short term, get Greenwood, get a 1 week punt this week, and then move them to your bench or transfer them straight back out, because we can't play too long term at the minute. There is no long term.
Exactly that. It's just, you know, and this is the thing about not, you know, about not needing a bench and just making sure that when you make a transfer this week, you've just got next week in mind. Now that may mean dependent on your team that you need them to play for the two, or it could mean you can hop from one to the other, but just kind of make sure that you've got the funds, because the last thing you want to do is bring in a player for 1 week and have to take a hit in 38 to get the team you want, for example, a -4 or even a -8. So
Yeah, agree with that, and say I will be trying to avoid points hits if possible. So yeah, I think that's a valuable thing at this time of the season. Whilst the people who are gambling and trying to make up ground might be taking these -4s, your mini league rivals might be going for it with minuses. Your differential is almost not taking a hit if everyone else is. I found that I didn't have a great week last week. I think you got to say 60 points, but because of your -8,
tiny green.
We end up on the same. So like I got. That kind of bailed me out of jail. The fact that I'm pretty sure, I wouldn't have got that green arrow if there wasn't so many minuses this week. So it can be almost a differential in itself, if you know what I mean.
And the only other ones I had really on my list, so for Newcastle, I had Dvorabka, 0.2% owned, so, you know, the keeper position at the moment has been quite tough with, you know, keepers being rested and stuff. If you're desperate keeper, you would assume Dvorabka would play too. And, you know, even though Newcastle haven't been fantastic defensively, they've got the best fixtures, you know, the next two defensively. And West Brom, Mateus Pereira, 3% owned, said he just keeps doing it, didn't he? It was funny because we pointed him out. I think Adam and I pointed him out in game week 25 or 26, and he had a really nice short run of games, and he had a double game week. But he didn't do much in those games. But as soon as he went off the radar, he just hasn't stopped since. It's just that, it's that age-old, age-old fantasy thing of just leave a player in. You know, if you think he's good, he may not score in the games you expect him to score in, but they will score because they're good players. But
just looking back at that run now, like from game weeks 22 to 26 and 27, when he had the likes of Sheffield United a double that included Brighton, Everton. He played Burnley in that time, Crystal Palace, and then he blanked in 2019. He came back in week 30 away to Tuchel's Chelsea, who were a guaranteed clean sheet. And he scores 21 points in a 5-2 away at Chelsea.
That's incredible.
That's when FPL, that's just like, no one's, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Right. Okay. Moving on to our next subject then. And you know, we're not going to spend overly long on this, but I've got a graphic now on screen. So it's the Fantasy Football Hub Contributors Mini League. But the point for discussion is, I suppose, is managing your mini leagues. So, you know, this is a really, really important time of the season, you know, in kind of terms of winning or losing mini leagues here. And, you know, if you're defending a lead or chasing a lead, I suppose. So on this screen now, for example, you know, we've got Will, you know, who we know is in the top 1,000 in the world. He's having another amazing season. And he is like 20 points clear of second of Paul Jones, who again is another fantastic fantasy manager. You know, if you were in his position here, you know, and this was for, you know, big bragging rights and your 20 points up, how would you play it, Wes, in the next two game weeks, as opposed to if you were actually being Paul and you were hunting Will down? What were the things you think about?
Yeah, I'll answer it as if I was Will or if I was Paul. Yeah, but firstly, I just want to say I'm there in sixth. My real name's Wes.
If you wanted me to say that. That's why I left
No. That's fine. So I'm there in sixth, and I'm, like we said earlier, I'm 4.9. Oh yeah, I'm top 5K. So, and I'm only sixth. There's only about 20. Is there about 20 people
about
in this
that,
league?
Oh, that, yeah. It's pretty
top
good.
Top 5K doesn't even get you in the top five in this mini league. Whereas, you know, mini leagues with my work rival, like my former colleagues, they're just, I'm 100 points clear in those ones. And then this league's just ridiculous. Ridiculous league. And if you win this one, you've probably finished in the top 1K. Yeah, you've done very well. Yeah. So, it is interesting. So I think how I play this is, and I've been advising this to people over the last sort of maybe 3 or 4 weeks, it would be, don't make stupid decisions. Don't go and captain Konsa because he's a uber differential or something stupid. But do, if there's an option like A and B, maybe this week just gone, right, Fergie? There was Salah, who was the most popular pick. All the polls showed it. It was obvious that Salah was going to be the most highly captain player. But Kane was a really good option as well. So you kind of take these, you've got player A and B in your head who are good options for either transfers in or captaincy. And no matter which one you actually prefer, you actually go for, if you're chasing, you go for the one that's less owned or less captain. So it would have been Kane this week. I captained Kane the week just gone. It wasn't for that reason. I'm trying to ignore rank and just focus on points. And I'm trying to ignore mini leagues. But if I was, like you said, desperate for those bragging rights and I was in Paul's position, I'm 20 points behind Will and I really wanted to catch him up, and I knew he was going to captain the most safer pick in, say, a Bruno this week or whatever, I did go for the second best option. So it's not a gamble, punty, stupid captain. It is still a great captain, but you're just back. You're just hoping, like this week, Fergie, we'd have been laughing if Salah just blanks against West Brom, which, based on the chances he actually got, was actually, he could have done. And Kane could have got a brace. We'd have flown at the ranks if that had happened. So
how Salah scored more points than Kane this week, I still can't
understand. I know, I'm very, very, I'm very, get the violin out for both of us.
That's right, you're right.
But it's those sort of things there where if you pick it, and even if Paul says chasing Will, and even if the captaincy this week, even if he thinks player X is the best pick, he can kind of bet against the odds and himself and go for that second player and just hope for that slice of luck that you need. And then you can go above your mate. And I guess to flip that, if I was Will and I was looking to consolidate a mini league, I'd play it the opposite way. And I would play as safe as I could. I would captain the player who everyone in the top 10K is going to captain, blah, blah, blah. I'd play it more safe like that. But that's my advice to people who do want to do that mini leagues, because I get it a lot, actually, on WhatsApp and stuff like that. I do get a lot of people saying, they'll send me their mini league rivals team, they'll say, oh, this guy's 10 points ahead of me, is this, is that. Like I say, it's not a way I play, because I'm in multiple different leagues and I just want to get literally the highest rank I can get. But if I was to play that way, that's how I play it. Does that make sense?
No, it does. You don't have to go for you know, crazy decisions, madcap Hail Mary, you know, stick all your eggs in one basket for it to happen. You can catch them over a couple of games by making sensible 50-50 choices, can't you? So say FPL Tips, who is in the chat, is seventh in this league as well. And we're going to look, though. He's on it. He said, why not Captain Kane again, Wes? Also heard that Joe Linton is a good pick. Now, can I just be absolutely clear here? I did not say that Joe Linton is a good pick. I think I said tongue-in-cheek, something along the lines of, is Joe Linton even an option potentially? That's very different from Tips, if I were you, transferring Joe Linton, he's going to get a hat-trick this week.
Well, actually we laugh about, you know, I was on podcast with John on and live streams on the Hub channel with John recently, and we was talking about Benteke. And, you know, it was kind of a jokey question that was thrown at us. And look, he's done okay. And, you know, we talk about Newcastle fixtures. And again, like you, Vogie, I'm not saying go ahead and go get Joe Linton in. I'm not going to be bringing him into my team. But if you've got a slot for a striker and you are chasing them in the league and you need a differential, and again, this isn't the advice I'd give games 1 to 34, 35, but in this last sort of couple of stages, maybe, yeah, Joe Linton, why are we making a joke about it? He scored a few goals, a few assists, he's cheap, and he's got the fixtures.
This is the thing, right? Is it's easy to laugh and joke at players before they do anything, because the vast majority of FPL managers only tend to put players in once they've done something. But by that time, a lot of time, it's too late. The skill for me is picking players before it actually happens. And that is a bloody hard thing to do. And that's the difference for me, you know, in terms of...
I've heard you saying that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of players who do well season on season, and in terms of people who bring in Lingard after he's, you know, smashed it for 6 weeks. Well, he's got it. Like, you know, he hasn't gone, but his points has gone. His ownership is massive. You need to get him in nice and early and take a risk. You know,
I think that's. I made some notes earlier that you know when we was going through my season a little bit earlier, and it was actually the things that I've done. So in the first sort of 6-7 game weeks of the season, I was late on the. I did eventually get DCL, Kane, and Son, but I was late to those trains. I slept on them for too long, and they killed me with big points, which is a reason why I started so poorly. But then later on, I always feel my way into the season. And then I was an early adopter on a Lingard, on an Iheanacho, on Gundogan, when people say, no, he's a defensive midfielder, that's just a lucky goal. I was like, no, if you actually watch the games
to see he was there on the penalty spot.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, exactly. He's scoring.
And he's not now. If you watch the games now, he's not. And you can see it. And that's why he's not really an option.
He's not an option. Exactly right. And I think a lot of people out there, if you're not watching a lot of football, that's what I've realised in the last few weeks, because obviously Fergie, me and you are both full-time FPL guys now, and we love football anyway. So I've got Sky and BT myself, so I record every single game and I watch every single game. Occasionally I have cheated and missed out some, and this is another story actually. I've cheated by not watching all of the sort of, you know, a few weeks ago I was thinking I'm not ever going to watch the Southampton asset. I'm not going to bother watching Southampton, West Brom, blah, blah, blah. And I actually bought in Stuart Armstrong based on my thought. It was a late transfer, deadline's coming. I bought in Stuart Armstrong thinking he was playing in a more attacking role than he actually was. So I made a mistake there. I've jammed a couple of assists out of him, so points returns have been fine. But even with those points returns, I've acknowledged that was a poor transfer in, and he's playing in a deeper central midfield role. But now I've got him in my team. Now I'm watching him. It's too late. I've already transferred him in. I should have been watching more football in terms of Southampton. So yeah, I do watch virtually every game, but I do cheat on some of the lower down teams I think I'm never going to want assets from. And it's part, you know, maybe that's the reason why I haven't really ever considered Chris Wood, and I've missed out on that train now. So maybe he would have been a good choice in that time period. I have had Iheanacho, so it's one of those where you can't have them all. But you know, maybe if I'd have watched more Burnley closely and paid more attention, maybe I'd have picked up on Wood, who knows. But yeah, it's really, I want to double down on what you said about getting in those players early, and it's something that's propelled my season later on, rather than at the start when I was not making mistakes necessarily, but I just didn't get in those players who were, you know, DCL was really red hot at that. He was really high on confidence those first sort of 10 game weeks, and I was just a little bit late to that train because I was a bit negative towards him. And again, sorry to keep, I'm blabbing on a bit.
No, it's good. It's all really good stuff.
One last thing, you know, two or three months ago, if someone would have said Lingard and Iheanacho would have been saving my game week, like they did about 4 or 5 game weeks, they literally saved my game week. That game when it was West Ham 3, Leicester 2, I think I had a team full of blankers, but then I had those two who both got braces, and it literally got me a green from a massive red. And, you know, we'd have all laughed at Lingard when he first signed at West Ham. People said, oh, bring him in, and everyone was laughing. And Iheanacho was like a completely not nailed on option. But then things changed. Like you just said with Gundogan, at that time when he was on a purple patch, you watch games, you realise he's playing in this role, he's a bit more nailed because De Bruyne's in you, blah, blah, blah. He's a good option. So you have to adjust. Gundogan, Lingard and Iheanacho have all gone from, at the start of the season, being don't touch him with a barge pole, to being near on, not essential, but to being the best picks in the game at certain stages of the season. So you've got to be flexible and adjust and can't think that, oh, Lingard's a troll, because for that 10 or however long I've had him, he's been brilliant for me.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with everything you said there as well. And I was going to make a point there. What was I going to say?
I was blabbing on.
Just a couple of bits. So, you know, firstly, in terms of taking risks on players, I mentioned this right at the start of the season, game week one onwards, right? As long as you've got your core team in place, as long as you've got the players you absolutely want, you can afford to jump on risky players. You know, one risky player who you think could come good, right? You can afford to jump on them early. If it doesn't work out, you know what? As long as you've got your core team of players, you know, as long as you've got your couple of clean sheets, you've got your Salah, Bruno, Kane, they're all scoring the points, you've got a reason to be, you know, you don't need massive greens every week, right? You can afford to take a risk on these players. And this is the thing, is that if you're taking risks on players when the rest of your team is not that, you know, good or hot, that's not the best time to do it. But I would try and, you know, get your team into a really good spot so you're ahead of the curve constantly, so you can actually afford to use some transfers on some of these players. Some will work and some won't. But you know what? If they do work, you're an absolute genius. If they don't work, it doesn't matter. Move them on. You know, absolutely fine. But the second thing, I suppose, my advice on defending and chasing mini leagues, I think if I was Will in this position, I was leading by 20 points. If I was Will, I would just try so, so hard just to not just to play the game how he's been playing it, and it's very much easier said than done, but I would just, you know, try and not think of the team in second that is chasing him and just play the moves. I wouldn't play a defensive move particularly. I captain that, you know Salah this week, for example. If he's got Salah in his mind, just captain Salah, right? Probably captain Salah in 38 as well, you guess. But don't try and overthink and think, well, if he captains Salah or whatever else, I would just play it.
And you wouldn't try and, I guess what you're also trying to say there is you wouldn't, you know, transfer in a player. You might think a player's not a very good FPL asset, but the player in seconds got him. So therefore to block, you bring that player in.
I wouldn't
I don't like thinking of that either, because yes, you might block that player, but what if their differential defender to you has a worldie and then all of a sudden Paul's only 20 points ahead behind, maybe Paul then goes ahead, and all of a sudden you're stuck with an asset you don't want and you're now the one behind trying to chase.
This is it.
You've made your team even more like them. So yeah, I agree with that.
I completely agree there. And I suppose if I was in Paul's spot and I was chasing, I was 20 behind, there's always opportunity with the captaincy. But I would also say, you know, what I would be doing now is trying to find a way. And this would be the way I play, right? I don't have to play this. But like I've said earlier, you know, we spoke about some really good differentials, and they're very, very, very low owned, but you know, they've got really good opportunities of scoring, right? I would personally jump on Cavani in 37, just because I personally think he's going to play 80 or 90 37. I think he's, you know, home to Fulham, in front of fans at Old Trafford. I can see Cavani doing some damage. I wish I'd get him into a team, but I can't. But that's an example of a move I would make. It's not mega aggressive. It's still a very, you know, if you actually sit back and think about it, it's still a very sensible move. It's a good attacking move, not overly aggressive, not just going for it for the sake of it. And then you could then move him on, for example, like I said earlier, for maybe Bamford. You know, if you've got Bamford, why wouldn't you go for Rodrigo in 38? Just, you know, they're incredibly low owned players, but they are very, very valid picks with wonderful home fixtures as well. So that's an example of what I would maybe do. You know, everyone's different. I'm not saying it's kind of right or wrong, but you don't have to go too far away from, you know, playing your natural game to potentially actually having a good team. I'm saying all this, obviously, you need, like, there's no point doing that if you haven't got Salah, for example. You need to have your core team in place first, and then you can afford to move the aggressive around the edges. So, you know, hopefully that has helped, you know, some players in positions where they are defending and chasing the mini leagues. Okay, so Wes, we've now got your team on screen for game week 37. Do you want to run through it for our podcast listeners?
Yes, so let me just pull it up myself. So I've got Mendy in goal. I've got Mendy and Martinez as a my two goalkeepers, which is a hangover from the bench boost. I haven't really wanted to use a transfer just to free up some funds that I haven't really needed. So yeah, just got both of those two. Mendy has got the playing better defence. He's probably got a tough, they've both got tough fixtures, but yeah, I'm going Mendy. And then in goal, in defence, I've got Alexander-Arnold, Luke Shaw, who I'm really happy with for this game week, but not so much for week 38. Then I've got Dallas. And in midfield, Jota's in there at the minute because I will be transferring him to the likes of a Greenwood, etc., etc. Lingard, Fernandez, who says captain at the minute, but I'm really not set on that yet either. Salah, and then up front, I've got Antonio, who I am happy with despite his blank when I brought him in. Watkins away at Spurs. Again, I feel like Spurs can concede goals. And I've got Kane. My bench is, like I said, Martinez. And then it's Armstrong, Concert and Dunk. So my bench is an absolute disgrace, which is fine if I don't need them. But I've had a really good bench all season because of COVID, because of bench boosts or whatever else. And I've changed my style of play a little bit to have a bit of a better bench. And I found it quite helpful because it's meant that I've saved minus fours here and there. When a player's off form, I can just bench them and use my bench. Whereas at the minute, I don't want to play Concert, especially where at Tottenham, Dunk suspended for one more game. And Armstrong, like I alluded to earlier, was actually a mistake of a transfer by me, despite his return so far. So that's why I am hamstrung into having to take Jota out this week for a transfer. And like I said earlier, if you have got a stronger team, I could have benched Jota, but I can't. So yeah, that's my team.
Got your captain on board at the moment. We'll cover captaincies next, but is that something you're actually thinking about doing?
Don't know.
It's such a hard one this week, isn't it? It's really tough.
I was the same last week. I was like, oh, Salah or Kane. And it's so tough to choose between these premium assets because you could virtually every week you can make a case for them because Fernandez and Kane and Salah, they're all on penalties. They're all their team's top goal scorer. Salah and Kane are going for the golden boot. Fernandez has, I think, the most goals and assists combined, does he? Maybe that's Kane now, but... You know, Fernandez has been a consistent performer week in, week out, and man, you don't get a lot of penalties, and they've got home fans in. And then who's got the easier fixture? Fulham at home or Villa? Villa have conceded a lot of goals, and so have Fulham. And like you just mentioned about Burnley, took the foot off the gas. They just lost 4-0.
4-0 at home to Leeds, yeah.
So
bizarre result that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Liverpool need the point. Salah wants a golden boot. Salah wants the... and Liverpool want the wins, etc., etc. So yeah, those three... I'd happily captain all three of them, any three of them. I don't know why I've defaulted to Fernandez, to be honest. So yeah, yes, basically ignore that, how it's set up at the minute, because that's just me putting it on someone at the sort of start of the week. I haven't got a strong argument for Fernandez over the other two. They're all such good assets that I don't know which way I'll go. It's ridiculous.
But have you thought about your planned move yet for this week?
Yeah, so my one free transfer will be, you know, I am waning on this because I'm potentially overthinking, or maybe it's good thinking in terms of the game at 38, but my thinking's Jota to Greenwood. And then like you've said, I can then potentially move Greenwood on next week. I can then maybe bench Luke Shaw if I think he's going to miss out, and then maybe just risk it and keep Fernandez. And therefore, I've only got one United asset, and I've got Dunk away at Arsenal, which isn't actually an awful fixture for Brighton. But that relies on no injuries or suspensions to the rest of my team. So that's why maybe, because like I keep alluding to, my bench being weak, maybe from my scenario, it actually makes more sense to go Jota to one of those safer picks, one of the Leeds midfielders or one of the Newcastle midfielders. But I don't want to miss out on Greenwood's points this week. So maybe it's best to think short term and deal with 38 when it comes.
Got to be fun as well, right? This is the thing, is you want to get the players in. You know, if you've got your heart set on a player, you really want, you know, when you want to be, and you're excited for them. I would go for that over than, you know, someone you feel you have to get in because it's the more for it, right? We're in game week 37.
Exactly, and Greenwood is that player that I have been gutted that I haven't managed to squeeze him in this season. Again, I kind of played because of the blank game week. I transferred Jota in. 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, that was with blank game week in mind. And he ended up obviously blanking anyway because he's injured. Greenwood smashed it the week before in the triple. I didn't back Greenwood to get as many minutes as he did, and he made a mockery of that decision. So Yeah, Greenwood's, and it is annoying when it's like, when you really like a player, but you can't manage to squeeze him in, and then they smash it. It's like, oh, I really wanted him. Everyone else is getting points off him, and I'm not. So it's like,
this is the thing, right? If you're, you know, and this is just like hypothetical as well, right? If you've got Greenwood and, let's say, Harrison in your mind, right, and you think Harrison is maybe the most sensible move, but you really want Greenwood. If you go for Greenwood and he smashes it, you will feel amazing, as well as having the points, right? If you go for Harrison but really wanted, you know, Greenwood, and Greenwood smashes it, you'll feel absolutely pig sick. And yeah, whereas, you know, if you get Harrison and E-Halls, you may be a bit like, oh, really knowing in your heart of hearts, you know, you kind of got away with them when, you know, they maybe, but Greenwood. Yeah, just do it. Well, I say that, whereas you're 5K, I'm 40K, so don't listen to me. You obviously make your own decisions, but yeah. Moving on to my team then. So I've got Pickford. So disappointed Pickford last night. But I've got Pickford in goal, the home to Wolves. I've got Dallas, Kufal, Alexander-Arnold and Shaw at the moment in a back four. I've then got Son at home to Villa, Salah, Lingard and Rafinha. I've got Calvert-Lewin and Kane up front. I've got Forster on my bench, Watkins, Rudiger and Jota. So my bench is actually okay at the moment. I've got Watkins and Rudiger on the bench there. I can, you know, put in Rudiger for, you know, for Kufal, for example. I've got one free transfer, but I'm a bit stuck here because, you know, I kind of mentioned earlier, right, about getting on the core group of players, and Bruno Fernandes is definitely in that, you know, in the core, you know, in the core group. I made a plan in 35. And I literally at the end of my plan, I put 37. Who knows? But now I'm here, and now I'm not sure what to do because I suppose the one thing with Bruno, in terms of why I think I may not get him back in, is one, I don't think he'll play in 38, but two, I'm probably not going to captain him in 37. I think that's quite important because, you know, if Bruno does kick off and get a goal and an assist, right, you know, he'll get, what's that, 12 or 13 points, which is obviously a lot of points, right? But the only player I can reasonably swap for him is Son, who's home to Villa, who defensively looked absolutely dreadful against Paris in the last game. He's going to be on that left-hand side against makeshift right-back in, you know,
Helmut Hamadi.
And for everything I said about Son earlier, it's still Son playing against poor defence at the moment. So I can either put Son to Bruno for free, but I could potentially there just be, you know, I could be doing myself out of a game week 38 player in Son, you know, who will very likely play against Leicester away in 38, whereas Bruno probably won't play there. So I've got that one. My other one, I could do a very simple Jota to Greenwood, the same as you. However, because my actual all-round team is quite good, I wouldn't even know who there. I'd even bench, because it would mean, you know, benching someone out of what kind of player. I could play a 3-5-2 and potentially bench Tufal, maybe. But again, I haven't got Bruno, and there's the question: do you think Greenwood cover Bruno? Or so I got that in my mind. Or I could do, you know, a -4 or -8, which I don't really want to do because I've taken a fair few hits these last few games. Yeah, or I could even save, right? Because look at that starting team there; it's pretty decent.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be taking a hit with that squad. I might consider it, yeah, like you said, a Jota to a Greenwood and playing a 3-5-2, but that would make your bench even stronger. But yeah, like you said, and because you're playing, if you do play a 4-4-2 this week, that means you get Watkins off the bench regardless of who misses out. So, you know, normally it's a defender for a defender, isn't it, when you play three at the back. But, you know, if Kufal misses out, you actually get Watkins in. And Rudiger isn't, for me, again, I'm playing Mendy because Chelsea can get a clean sheet against anyone. So even if Rudiger has to come off your bench, that's still a good option. So I definitely wouldn't be taking. I don't think a -4 is worth it for your team. Like you said, you're without Bruno, but you're not going to captain him. So it's kind of Bruno versus Son. Can Son score similarly to? Because I don't have Son, for example, in my team, but I do have Bruno. So can Son match Bruno this week? I think he's got every chance to. Because like I said, he's got a really good fixture as well. So I think if I was in your boots, I'd either do one of two things: I'd save a transfer, or I'd do, because Jota is out for the season anyway, I'd potentially do Jota to Greenwood, bench Kufal, like you said, or Sofal, however you say it. And then in weeks 38, you've got to have, even if you think Greenwood's going to miss out, you can put straight back onto your bench and have Watkins as a good bench player as well, and maybe Luke Shaw, because maybe he'll miss out And then you've still got your transfer in hand as well.
Do, so well, I'm thinking of doing Watkins to Bamford in 38 as well. So.
Sorry, yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So it's just going without Bruno. And I know, like, so this is a game of it's a bit of rank manager, right? Because one of the reasons why I've managed to stay roughly around my rank is because I've held all the high ownership,
yeah,
best players for most of the season, right? And this is why I'm kind of where I am. I'm perfectly happy. I'd like to be higher. All I don't want to do is not go with Bruno, right? You absolutely smash it, and all of a sudden go from 40k to 70k or 80k. That would that would hurt. But I do think in the circumstances that I don't think he's going to be massively captained for one, and I do think I would have Greenwood and Son, who between them, you know, as long as they get some kind of attacking return each, would be good. But Stefanel's on a wind-up. He just said to Daniel Robert in the chat, so Daniel asked, what have I missed? And he said, yeah, Fergie said, sell Kane and Salah for Davis and Joe Linton. Don't listen to him, Daniel. I didn't say that.
We're getting a lot of stick tonight, aren't we, Fergie?
Oh, mate, it's the same every week, but it's all a good spirit. It's all good fun. So, yeah, I think at the moment, there was just a thing in the chat there about... Guru said, why not Mane? Yeah, so I probably wouldn't go for Mane in 37 for the same reasons why I like going for Bruno, is that, you know, I've got a good... I don't like a sideways move, you know. Son, okay, I slated him, and I did, but that home against Villa is a nice fixture. I hate taking out a player with a good fixture. I don't see the point. If you can do that, it means your team is, you know, absolutely amazing. Mine is certainly not. But in 38, it could be an option, you know.
I think, like I said, Son did have a bad game, but is that the norm? Is that a sign of things to come, or was it a one-off?
Did he score? Was it two in the last three or something along those lines? He scored against Leeds.
Before that game, he had three goals in a row. He had four goals, one assist in his last five games. Right. Before that, Wolves blank. So, you know, players are going to blank, aren't they? If you look at Salah, Bruno, Kane this season. Kane blanked against Sheffield United. DCL blanked against Sheffield United. Kane blanked against Sheffield United despite Spurs scoring four goals. He just wasn't involved in the goals. So, I wouldn't be, and I think Kane even blanked against Leeds, didn't he? So, yeah, I wouldn't be overly worried about Son. And like you said, it's Son against Villa, and Villa were possibly, again, I haven't got the stats to hand, maybe I'm wrong on this, but in my mind, Villa were worse defensively than Fulham over this last six or seven game weeks. Fulham over the course of the season, the reason they're down there is they haven't been able to score goals. They haven't been getting battered 4-5-0 every week. So, yeah, Villa at home is equally as good a fixture for Son, and you don't have to use that transfer. So I wouldn't do Son to Bruno. In your position, I'd do Jota to Greenwood, bench Soufal, even though Soufal's got a decent chance of points this week as well. But yeah, I would. That's what I'd do.
No, I appreciate that. Just catch up with a few questions in the chat. Guy asks, would in for 38 over Bamford, Fergie? I just prefer Leeds over Burnley. The only thing which put me off, so I follow an account on Twitter, and I can't remember the name at the moment. Someone like Football Intelligence or something. They've been spot on with a couple of early lineups, bits and pieces. They did say something earlier about Bielsa's had a falling out with Bamford, which I found a bit odd. So I'll keep an eye on that one. If we get any rumblings that Bamford isn't going to start in 38, Wood is obviously a really good option. But Rodrigo as well, because, you know, I like sometimes going for these rogue calls because, you know, it's for the enjoyment of the game as well. Sometimes things you just got a fancy for. It doesn't have to be backed up by massive underlying stats or anything. Yeah. If you really just fancy someone, like I fancy Cavani this week, I fancy Bamford and Rodrigo in 38. I know I keep talking about it, but I wish I could get in my team, but I can't. But anyway, it's the fun as well. Right? I don't see Wood as a fun pick. Whereas I would see Leeds at home to West Brom as a game I would expect to see a lot of goals. Notwithstanding West Brom's, was it 5-5 with Man United? I know it was a long time ago now, but you know,
Lukaku was there. That was Fergie's, not FFH Fergie. That was Fergie, Alex Ferguson's last game, wasn't it, for United? So I think Lukaku got a hat trick for West Brom or Something ridiculous.
Who is?
Yeah.
Daniel Roberts says, Martinelli, any good? We haven't really mentioned Martinelli. I probably think, you know, there's better options. Have you got anything to add there, Wes?
Yeah, no, I think so. I haven't been keeping too much of an eye on Martinelli. Is he getting enough? I know with these sort of Greenwoods and Jotters and players like that, they do have a bit of risk with minutes, but I do feel like, yeah, Martinelli's a no from me. I'm just having a look at his minutes quickly now.
Just think, you know, there's better options, right? That's
And he's got, who's he got coming out? Fixtures, Crystal Palace, Brian. Yeah, it isn't. I mean, like he's going back to like that fun, you know, if you fancy him for whatever reason, yeah. We don't want to tell you it's right or wrong, but you know, if I have to give my advice, and I'd say no to that move personally, but I don't want to put someone off too much. But yeah, not for me. I think, like you said, there's better options. In the players we've discussed for those that job replacement category, there's a lot of better replacements in my opinion.
Good mate. Okay, we now move on to asking the question. This is a really tough one this week. Who is the best captain for Game Week 37? It's funny how this decision could actually be a fairly big one, you know, in terms of rank variance, because it could turn your, yeah, you know, 100% effective ownership player into a 180 and vice versa, right? So it's a big, you know, it's a big one.
That's what happened to us in the week just gone, didn't it? Salah was a real player who worked against both me and you, because we both captained Kane and viced Salah. So yeah, he really worked against us in the week just gone. Who's the best captain for this week? I'm looking at that graphic now as well. It's no surprise to see those players there. Mane's in with a good shout as well. He's obviously the other three we've spoke about a lot.
I'll just mention it, Wes, for our podcast listeners. Yeah. No, it's fine. So we put a poll up earlier, Fantasy Football Hub at FFH_HQ. We put up Kane, Fernandes, Salah and Antonio, because I was struggling for a fourth bit. So I put Antonio in away to West Brom, but Salah away to Burnley, who have also got Pope out as well. It's worth mentioning. And Dyche has also said, I think Guy put it in the chat earlier, that, you know, they're kind of on the beach, that Dyche said they will be on the beach, but he took 42% of the vote. Bruno Fernandes took 31%. Kane, quite surprisingly, at home, considering his form, and he's at home, only 20%, and Antonio had 6% of the vote. So they're the four we're kind of looking at. Apologies, Wes. Yeah. Carry on, mates. Who do you think?
There's another graphic that you're going to flash up in a minute that I was actually looking at, but yeah, I'll leave that. I actually skipped a slide forward. But yeah, the captaincy, yeah, I think this just goes to show the dilemma and the reason. It's quite tight, isn't it, this week? Sometimes there's a real standout pick in these polls, but Kane, Fernandes, Salah, no one's got over 50%. Obviously, you've got a bit more experience in these sort of polls, but I'm surprised to see Salah. Am I surprised? I don't know. It's so tough.
I was surprised last week. It was the same last week because Kane was really low.
Kane was, and then Salah was Salah much higher than that last week?
It was like 50%, I want to say, last week, but Kane was over 20.
I think because last week it was basically Salah versus Kane, wasn't it? Now it's Salah versus Kane versus Fernandes. So there's that extra. Fernandes obviously blanked last week, so Fernandes has now come back into the picture and taken some of the votes off both, I guess. But yeah, look, I'm really, really confused about captaincy. Like I said earlier, I don't want to repeat myself, but maybe there's new listeners now. I can make a strong case for all three of those. They're all on penalties. Kane and Salah will go for the golden boot. Fernandes is always hungry for wins and goals and all that sort of thing. They've all got good fixtures for different reasons. Aston Villa, poor defence. Fulham are relegated and just lost 3-1 to Southampton, was it? And Burnley, you have just been spanked, and Sammy on the beach, like Dyche has alluded to. So I want to captain them all, Fergie.
It's an absolute stinker, I've got to be honest. So I suppose, you know, just to bring a bit of, you know, a bit of balance, as you said. So, you know, the argument for Salah. So Burnley have just lost 4-0 at home. The manager has said that, you know, he's not going to be hard on him. Salah's chasing the golden boot. Liverpool have got the absolute ultimate kind of, you know, prize in terms of, you know, Salah has to play in the Champions League, right? It'd be an absolute travesty if he doesn't. You know, you saw his reaction when Alisson scored the header, the kind of, you know, the boost that whole team is going to get from that goal, because they went from the absolute brink, you know, to now really pushing forward. So I think Salah is a great option. Kane, potentially his last game in front of his fans. I never thought, you know, he'd be saying that in January or February last year. Villa, not look good defensively. Again, chasing the golden boots. You know, if he, you know, if he has got his mind on leaving as well, he's going to want to show Man City, Man United, kind of what he can do. So there's a massive argument there.
And he'll want, like you alluded to a minute ago, he's going to want a big send-off. He loves the Spurs fans, of course, and he's going to want a big send-off. And he, that, you know, it's almost recency bias, isn't it? Kane only scored one goal last game and Salah got more FPL points. But I know it's all if, buts and maybes, but Kane hit the post twice. He had one cleared off the line. If he scored a hat-trick in that game against Wolves, it wouldn't have been a surprise. And that poll would be, I think, completely different now.
And the week before was the same as well, mind, because he scored Leeds, two disallowed goals against Leeds and at the bar as well. In terms, you know,
so he could be off the back of, really good. You look back at, if you just look back at FPL points, it can be a bit misleading because, and stats don't obviously include Kane scoring that offside goal, won't even go down as a shot, will it?
Because, exactly.
Because he was a toenail offside. So in terms of the stats, that doesn't exist. So that's, again, why you've got to watch football and see if Kane is sort of, you know, was he struggling from injury or was he just quite unlucky to dodge points? And it was the latter, wasn't it?
It was. And then with Bruno then as well. So, you know, Fulham have just been pretty awful. Bruno, you know, playing at Old Trafford in front of the fans, he's going to want to put on a show. They're very likely to play a strong team. You know, you know, we mentioned, you know, they're likely going to play Cavani, probably Rashford, maybe Greenwood. They're going to put a strong team at home. There's a big argument there for Bruno. Obviously, all three are on penalties as well, which doesn't help the case because normally, you know, if it's like a 50-50, I'll say, oh, who's on pens? They're all on penalties. They're all good at penalties as well. So between the three of them, it's really, really tough. Anderson FPL had, you know, well, the, you know, he makes a point. The goal difference for Liverpool might be needed to be considered. Yeah, I'm never really a thing with that, just because, you know, just because a team needs to score loads of goals,
doesn't mean
that they, you know, going to
sometimes work. I think it sometimes works against, you know, it's against West Brom. They needed to win, and they very almost didn't. So just because, and again, like we said earlier, with West Ham having that, they needed to win to get into Europe, but it hasn't happened. So sometimes playing with that extra pressure might not always be a good thing. So yeah, I haven't put a Salah as well, but I forgot it. So yeah, don't
worry. So balls on the line, Heiss. Who is the best captain if you had to pick one now this minute?
I don't know. I'm on Bruno at the minute for my own team, so I'm going to say
Ice
him,
says but... Bruno is the best captain for game week 37.
I don't want to get in the bother that Lee from FBL Family got in for changing captaincy. So no, big disclaimer, I might change my mind. So don't hammer me.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
And socials too much.
I think I'm going to have to go for. I don't know. I can't even say it because it's so 50-50 between Salah and Kane. I've gone off Bruno, but Salah and Kane, it's going to go to the wire. But I think it's Kane. I was going to say Salah because of the polls and wherever else, but I think Kane, for me, at home against Villa. The only thing, like, you know, another thing in Salah's favour over Kane is the, you know, potential clean sheet point, the extra point for a goal as well. That does always kind of play in my mind as well. But some interesting ones. Look, I mean, look at the chat now, right? You've got, it's obviously Salah, and someone else says, well, it's obviously Kane. And, you know, there's just no right answer again. It's just get yourself...
I disrupted you mid-flow. Sorry, right? I was just going to say that Kane's had his best ever. He's already got his best ever FPL season with a couple of games to go, and that's seen despite obviously missing a few games with two different injuries, I think, this season. He hasn't missed that many, but he has missed a few, and Kane has got his highest ever FPL return because of the assists he's now added to his goals as well. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that in. But, yeah, sorry, I disrupted you.
It's all good, mate. Everyone thought that... that the stream had froze because I took too long to answer. I'm still not sure, but I was going to say Salah. I couldn't get Kane out of my head, but I think at the moment I think it's Kane. That's not to say that he will definitely be, you know, you'll definitely have my armband. It's going to be, you know, get all the information, as much team news, as much everything as you know as I possibly can. But
I'm just reading the chat as well about the. It just making me laugh seeing everyone saying that it froze and that silence.
I know so, exactly. That's it's because I was so stuck. It's such a tough one. Okay, so yeah, and on the fantasyfootballhub.co.uk predicted best game week captain, Mo Salah by quite a distance actually, 7.7 points predicted points for Salah. Second is Kane, and surprisingly with 6.7, Mane third 6.2, Bruno Fernandes 6, and Trent 5.6. There has been a couple of shouts for Trent in the chat. The only thing is, you know, is I think you are reliant on attacking returns, because I think Burnley will score, because Liverpool just can't defend as a unit. Alisson's a great keeper, you know. Trent and Robertson and Nat Phillips individually are good defenders, but as a team, they just haven't got it. They just always concede. I'm sure I saw yesterday that West Brom, I think they had 8 shots in the box, or you know, 3 big chances. Yeah. You know, it's absolutely crazy. So
and again, they had that goal disallowed for offside, which won't show up in the stats, which was it was quite an unlucky disallowed one, wasn't it? Because of the keeper being obstructed, it was a bit of a dodgy one for West Brom fans, that one.
Yeah. Again, I know what's going to happen now, right? I'm going to go on Twitter tomorrow. Stefan Hall saying Joe Linton captain, and I know tomorrow I'm going to go on Twitter and like, you know. Fergie said we got to have a front three for game 37 of Cavani, Joe Linton, and bloody Firmino or something. And it's like, no, that's not absolutely not what I said. But
take it out of context.
Of context. There we go. Okay. Competition time for our YouTube watchers. So every week, all our YouTube watchers have a chance to win a Fantasy Football Hub mug, which I'm showing here now on their screen. They're absolutely brilliant mugs. We're selling these too. We also sell loads of other Hub merchandise. The link is in the description below. We run a competition every week. So the highest scorer for game week 36 was Ferran Torres, obviously, with his hat-trick on Friday evening. Please let me know if you think you won. I couldn't find anyone in the chat from last week who picked Ferran Torres. If you did pick him, please let me know. Send me a screenshot. And so for the competition this week and chance to win one of these fantastic mugs, please like, subscribe, and then comment on who will be the top FPL point scorer in game week 37. It's limited to one entry each. If there is a tie, we'll do a random draw for the winner. Wes, who do you think will be the highest scoring player in game week 37?
Let me just remind myself of the fixtures quickly.
And you can't pick an obvious one either. It's got to be a bit of a, you know.
Yeah.
You can't say Salah and then Captain Kane.
Yeah. It doesn't. It's never. The very top scoring player of each game is normally a bit of a random one, isn't it? So I will go for. It's tough. I don't really think this, but I'll go for it anyway. I'll go Richarlison.
Richarlison, okay. I'm going to go for Joe Linton. And Adel Munir, you can't say Willock or St Maximum if you are doing your picks. It's got to be one or the other. We're having some in the chat now. People are saying Rudiger or Phillips. I'm not sure if they're asking questions or choosing the players. Jones bloke is saying Joe Linton. Anderson and Nucky are saying Cavani. So is Relic Returns. Dean Donald says Kane. Niall Holmes says Bale. Tubo Pat says Salah. Rishi Patel says Ings. Richie, who's won 3 mugs, by the way. He's had it right 3 times out of about 15 or 20 podcasts. Absolutely insane stuff.
Who's this? Rich?
Rishi Patel in the chat. He's had it right 3 times. Absolutely amazing stuff. That is competition for Game Week 37. Okay, so as part of our partnership with Fanteam, we're offering a superb deal. If you are thinking of playing Euro 2020 fantasy football and you are yet to join Fanteam, I must iterate this. You cannot be an existing Fanteam user. But basically, this offer will give you free annual membership to Fantasy Football Hub for a full year. That is full access to the best fantasy football site around, including all the tools we use on the podcast, team reveals, articles, and everything else. It's absolutely brilliant. You will also get a free weekly monster ticket for each remaining game week. So that'll be for 37 and 38 with €20 each. And also entry into a big Euros free roll as part of your entry. So this is the offer. And all you have to do is, it's on the screen now, click the link in the description. Don't join Fan Team without clicking the link. To be eligible, you need to sign up to Fan Team using the link in the description below. Enter the Euros 2020 competition, which has a prize pool itself of £1 million. That is £1 million prize pool for Euro fantasy football. And the first prize is a life-changing £200,000. Absolutely staggering. So all this is for a €20 entry. So it'll cost an outlay of €20, but you get to play in that tournament as well as all the other freebies we've said. Absolutely superb offer. So please make sure, if you are interested in playing Euro 2020 fantasy football, do this, because you get so much value. It's incredible, as well as a chance of a first prize of £200,000. To reiterate, this is for new Fan Team players only. It's a great deal from Fan Team and Fantasy Football Hub. On to our at FFH underscore Green Arrow mini league. In 10th place we have Harry Jones. In 9th place, Neil Harrington. 8th, Al Kamali. Climbing back up, Al Kamali. 7th, Abdul Hassan. 6th, Craig S. 5th, Vert Van Penitigum. Apologies, Bert. I say it every single week, and every single week I say it differently, so I do apologise, Bert. It's a bit of a hard one for you to say. 4th is Daniel Haynes. 3rd is Douglas Wong. 2nd is Tammy Donohoe. And first, as we've said, Vigard Knutsen scored 56 points this week and is 50th overall in FPL with a score of 2,501 points. He's broken through that 2,500-point barrier, which is absolutely superb. Make sure you join, if you haven't already, make sure you join our at FFH underscore Green Arrow mini league. The mini league code is LV24ZG. Just put it now in the chat. Make sure you join that. Or our YouTube watchers can join using the auto-join link in the description below. Excuse me. So that is a wrap from us. I did say, Wes, it might be a long one. It's funny how the time seems to just go, doesn't
it? It's
just gone quick. It does. But that is a wrap from us for Game Week 37. Many, many thanks, as usual, to all our loyal watchers and listeners for their great questions, comments, interaction, and support. We really do appreciate it. Joelinton is an idea. That is all he is. Please don't pick Joelinton and then blame me when he doesn't do badly. But we really appreciate all your interaction in the stream. It's great stuff. We hope to have Adam back with us for the Game Week 38 season finale podcast, which will be on Thursday at 8 p.m. as his workload eases. But in the meantime, Wes, thank you so much for coming on. Absolutely fantastic guest. The very best of luck for you for Game Week 37. Where can people get hold of you?
FBL underscore Heisenberg on Twitter. You find me there. And some of the watchers may not know, I'm very involved with Hub as well. So I write for the Hub, part of the Hub social media team and all sorts of stuff for Hub. So yeah, work closely with Fergie and Will and all that. So yeah. But yeah, mate, if you want to DM me directly or interact with me directly, it's FPL underscore Heisenberg on Twitter.
And thanks again, Wes. Absolutely superb guest as usual.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
That's fine, mate. My Twitter handle is at FFH underscore Fergie. Kieran Flood has just asked, is there a double up podcast this week, guys?
There's me and John are going to be streaming on the Hub tomorrow.
On this channel, it'll be on this channel.
On this channel, yeah. So yep. We're not doing a podcast because of the time in a podcast. It works better with the stream that's going to be live on the day. If we did a podcast like 4 hours before the deadline, by the time it's uploaded, it's gone. So we'll have it here. John might pull the audio, I think he was saying, but yeah, just watch it here, basically. Watch it on YouTube is the best way.
Cool. So this podcast and video will be on the Fantasy Football Hub YouTube channel with the podcast versions available on all major podcast platforms. If you liked what you watched, please press the like button and remember to subscribe to the channel in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen if you haven't already. And if you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast, leave a comment. As I keep saying every week, the likes really, really do help us. So if you could please, you know, if you'd enjoyed any part of the stream, please press like. It's really, really appreciated. And if you're listening on an audio podcast, please, you know, you can rate the podcast, give it 5 stars, leave us some comments. Really, really does help, and it's really appreciated. Our LinkedIn. Sanjay's asked about my LinkedIn. I don't know where this LinkedIn has come from, but no, I'm not. You know, I'm not going to be adding anyone on my bloody LinkedIn.
My LinkedIn probably still says I work at bloody Sainsbury's when I was 16 or something.
This was it with my old stuff. Our handles on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok are at FFH_HQ, and our podcast Twitter handle is at FFH_GreenArrow. So make sure you drop us a follow. Our website is fantasyfootballhub.co.uk, where you will find everything you need for fantasy football all under one roof, including player comparison tools, the fixture ticker, Optostats, top player team reveals, points prediction tools, everything you could ever need. Wes also reveals his team exclusively for Fantasy Football Hub members every single week. So every week, you know, the same as last week, all these amazing managers we've got with the Hub reveal their teams pre-deadlines. If you want to see what these guys are doing every week, you don't have to copy them, but it may give you some ideas, you know, on what to do for your teams. Just join up to Fantasy Football Hub. The link is in the description below. You have a 7-day free trial. You will not regret it. I absolutely promise you that. I'll be back on Thursday. Stefan, you're not having my Snapchat. I'm sorry, you're not having my Snapchat. But the Hub Snapchat is at FFH_HQ. If you do go on there, I think you can see me doing the toilet roll challenge from about a year ago when that was big. I think I did about 10 or 11, if you really want. Relic Returns asks, what's my MySpace? I'm not sure on that. And Josh is asking, do I have Bebo? I'm not sure what Bebo is. It doesn't remind... Ain't that like a Facebook for kids or something along those lines?
No, there's too many of them. I think it's an old school.
I'm not going, you know, if you want to get older than me, just get MSN Messenger. Look at this now, John has MSN Messenger. Behave the lot of you. Just get hold of me on Twitter or on Fantasy Football Hub. And I haven't got an OnlyFans, no. Just for everyone asking if I've got an OnlyFans. I should have an OnlyFans, maybe. There was a question earlier, actually, about who's got the best beard. You are Iwes, so let's just finish off with a really quick poll. I'm sure the podcast is absolutely loving this, aren't they? The ones that are listening saying, just will you, just hurry up. But let's have a quick poll. Who's got the best beard, myself or Wes? I think they're very similar, actually. You've actually got that slight bit of grey on the one side, the same as me. So I think we're very similar, but
I can't grow it too much longer. It looks a bit scraggly.
I tend to do it once a week before the streams, but I did that. I'd actually forget. Anyway, I'm going on and on here. I bet the podcast listeners are loving this. This is really, really good stuff. We will be back. So I'll be back on Thursday evening live at 8 p.m. to look ahead to the final game week of the season. We think that Adam Hopcroft is going to be back on Thursday, so I can give him a hard time because I am still ahead of him as well. So, I'm still above him in FPL for only the second time, I think, in about 8 seasons of playing. So I'm going to have that. I'm getting a load of stick. Do I still use fax? No, I don't use fax. But I have had five for the best beard, Wes. 5-1 at the moment. Someone said John Nellis. John's not on here this evening. He'll be on tomorrow. Relic Returns, only beards. No, we're not doing that. Right, I'm going. Stay safe and may all your arrows be green. Good night, all.